Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of God, and we are, just be patient with us. We are doing, where we get some changeovers happening, and of course, Josh was called back to work. He was helping us with all the sound and the technical things. So if we're a little off, be patient. We'll get there. And be careful, because if you complain too much, we'll put you in there. Amen. All right, I want to talk to you today on the object of our gratitude. Talk to you about gratitude. I know it's kind of obligatory right now to talk about gratitude because of Thanksgiving, but the truth of the matter is, Thanksgiving should not be a one-time event. It should be a way that we live, as John Maxwell said this morning. It should be Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving. And I actually believe that when we come to a revelation of what God has done for us and continues to do for us, I think when we see and understand and know what God has done and continues to do for us, gratitude will become a habit with us. Let's talk about the object of gratitude, and I want to just talk about some of the practical, natural, normal, psychological things to begin with. And we're going to be reading from Luke 17, 7 through 19 later. We'll hold on that scripture just now, but I want to go to it, so keep that marked if you have your Bibles. There's a story by a guy named Nick Ortner. He wrote a story of a blind boy that was sitting on the corner in a city, and he had a little bucket there with him, and he had a few coins in the bucket, and he had a sign that says, "I'm blind, please help." And so people were coming by and kind of moving past him rather quickly. Some occasionally would throw a coin in. And there was a gentleman who was passing by who took the sign from him after dropping some coins into his bucket. He took the sign from the little boy and he wrote something on the back side of the sign, and he flipped it over, gave it back to the young man, said, "Hold it this way," and then he went on his way. In the evening, when the gentleman was returning, he came back to see that the little boy's bucket was full, and the little boy recognized the gentleman by his footsteps, and he goes, "Hey, you're the man who wrote something on my sign, is that correct?" He said, "Yes, you're right." He said, "What is it that you wrote on the sign that has caused people to give me more money today than they usually do?" So he said, "What I wrote, young man, was the truth, just like you have the truth on there. I wrote the truth, but I wrote it in such a way as to cause people to stop and be appreciative." And what he had written on the sign was, "Today is a beautiful day, only I cannot see it." And when people saw that writing that he had there, "Today is a beautiful day, only I cannot see it," it caused them, the older man told the young boy, it caused them to take a minute and reflect on the joy of being able to see a beautiful day. There's some things we take for granted. You get something in your eye, it should make you start thinking, how blessed I am to have eyesight, right? And so there's a lot of things that if we take the time, it will give us great gratitude. There are studies that show that grateful people are happier, they're healthier, they're more well-rested, they're more motivated, they're more made more motivated to exercise. Somebody said, I just lost my gratitude. But anyway, they're motivated to exercise. And they have stronger relationships. There's so many things that gratitude changes. And there's a good article, if you want to look it up, called Happy. It's from Happier Human, 31 Benefits of Gratitude. I didn't realize I'd use this a couple of years ago, but until one of my memory posts came up, somebody reposted or liked it, and it popped up there. But the 31 Benefits of Gratitude are in that, and it's very detailed. Scientific studies, and this is one of the things I love about today, is that science. Oh, we love science. If science tells us, it's good. Now, the Word of God's been telling us for years, but science has got to come along. See, they got it backwards, folks. Science should back up the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't need to back up science, okay, because God is the God of science. And so the Word of God teaches these things, but here are these studies that come along only confirm what God's Word has already told us, and that there are many, many benefits of gratitude. Gratitude, according to Webster, is the state of being grateful. Or thank, I always call it thankfulness. The state of being grateful. Now, I want to talk about that. It's more than just being grateful at one point or at one time. Thank you so much for doing this. But it is actually an attitude and a spirit that you can get into, that you live your life in a state of gratitude. You ever hear people say that? I'm in a good place right now, or I'm not really in a good place. And of course, that should not affect our gratitude, because the Bible teaches that whatever it is, and everything, we should give thanks to God. Okay? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will. For everything that comes into your life, we should give thanks. Now, we'll talk more about that later. I want to stay with my subject here. So do you want more happiness? Do you want better health? You want deeper relationships? You want increased productivity? What if you realize that just one thing could help you with all of this? Just one thing. And that is, as we've already said, learning to be grateful. The picture represents the picture of this gratitude study that they give has a study of like 50 different studies that was done about gratitude. And one of the things that they came out with that's so important in these studies, the picture of gratitude, that the state of gratitude that people would desire to get in, that if you would start just 5 minutes a day keeping a grateful journey, a grateful journal, 5 minutes a day, that your whole outlook would begin to change and these things begin to happen to you. The productivity, being more restful, being motivated, exercise, having more friends. Now, the thing that they point out in this particular author in this said that it took him about 3 months. It took him about 3 months to really get that spirit of gratitude grounded and motivated and moving in his life like it should be. Now, here's the thing. That many people say after just 1 week of keeping a gratitude journal, just after 1 week, they begin to see a turnaround in their life on how they look at things. See, so gratitude is something that has to be cultivated. It is not our natural place, our natural state. What's the Bible say? In the flesh, there's no good thing. What's our natural place in the flesh? Griping and complaining. You know what? We have a spirit of that in our world today, and I don't care. Call me what you want to call me. But this spirit that has gotten in amongst us to divide the races and divide individuals and what have you. It's from hell. And Jesus warned us that nation would turn against nation. What do you mean nation against nation? Well, nationality against nationality, because Satan knows how to come in, divide. And there's this particular phrase that we hear about this day and age about white privilege. And it really doesn't matter as far as that spirit and that attitude is concerned. If you started from nothing and built yourself up to where you are today and you have just a good life or a regular life or a wealthy life, it doesn't matter. You have privilege. But let me tell you something. You taking somebody else's privilege, if you want to call it that, you take somebody else's blessing and you take somebody else's joy and somebody else's the good things that are happening in their life, you take that from them, it's not going to make you one bit happier. It's not going to give you anything special in your life. But the spirit of the flesh says, well, if I'm going to be miserable, so are you. Rather than saying, listen, I would like to learn from you how you got to this place of what I'm looking at that looks like privilege. That looks like something special is happening in your life. Would you teach me? And you know what? Here's the thing we have to realize. God has, I don't want to get too far in this, but God has blessed us with a tremendous country, America, that anybody, if they're willing to put their hand to it, can prosper and can be blessed. Anybody. There's plenty of examples, multitude of examples that are out there. But anyway, 5 minutes a day can change your attitude. Gratitude absolutely must become a habit in your life. You cannot just simply get up and say, I'm going to be grateful for the rest of my life. Who was it? One of my friends posted recently, why do I feel like that all of a sudden I'm going to be very disciplined and complete this particular task in front of me when I've never had that discipline all my life? We're optimistic like that, aren't we? And sometimes we feel, but we do know that there's nothing that's put in front of us that if we apply ourselves and it become a habit with us, we can benefit from that. Gratitude is something that we absolutely, and I'm going to bring you to the spiritual reckoning of this in just a minute, but I want to talk about just the fact that we see in our lives that psychologists, scientists, and all tell us, hey, you can be different if you just learn how to be grateful instead of being a complainer and a griper about things. Gratitude sometimes disappears from us, and this is the reason they gave in the study, and they call it hedonic adaptation. Hedonic, or the root word of that, hedonism. Hedonism means that the hedonism doctrine is a doctrine that the end of all life is seeking pleasure and happiness. You've heard of hedonism, where people just gave themselves over to whatever. It doesn't matter. And, of course, that's a doctrine of the devil because it's destructive. Another way to say hedonic adaptation is just saying the flesh. The flesh. And what they said by this is what happens. This is what gets in the way of keeping a spirit of gratitude in your life. And that is, after a while, you get so used to blessings or to good things happening to you that your expectation begins to go up because your sensory, you're being bombarded away with good things from your senses. And after a while, it's like, well, I'm just expecting it. It's ruined a lot of good marriages because somebody can have a perfectly good spouse that is dedicated, loving, faithful, does the things that a good husband or wife should be, but all of a sudden, you're just not exciting to me anymore. Well, I don't remember that being in the wedding vows. I'll remain exciting all of it. Who could promise that? I did remember sickness and health. Well, you're just not what I expected when we got married. Well, go find anybody and ask them those questions, okay? I mean, you know, none of us are what, I mean, I'm not even what I expected from myself when I was a young man, okay? And so that particular hedonic adaptation, repeated exposure to the same emotion producing stimulus, well, either it can do one or two things. One thing, it helps us get over bad things, so we don't remember the bad situations, but it also can get us used to good things. And so if we're, let me give you a good example of this. Have you ever been somewhere and visited and it's just amazing. It freaks you out. It's so beautiful. The water in the Caribbean, or wherever, the mountains. And you're there, and what do we always say? Oh, I wish I lived here. I wish I lived here. And after a while, what I came to the conclusion of is that the place I live is beautiful. Now, to some people, it may not be. To me, it's beautiful. But what happens is that after a while, it's just a place. And if you find locals that are honest and you say, do you ever get used to this? Used to what? What are you talking about? The mountains in this. Oh, no, I try not to. I try not to take it for granted. I've heard that so many times. I try to remember how gorgeous. But see, they're seeing it every day. They're in the middle of it. This is what I said before. Do you think people that live in wealthy families that are blessed on you think that they just take that for granted? Of course they do. Because this is always the way it's been. If I get in trouble, Daddy, get me out. Too often, we're living in the middle of God's blessings, and we're so used to it, we have no gratitude anymore. It's just, this is what happens. I'm a Christian. This is just what happened. And it can bring us to a place to actually cause us to ruin the relationship that we have with our loved ones and with God. Gratitude is a tool to fight the malady of, and here's a term they used to use, and that is familiarity breeds contempt. Too familiar, and you get contemptible about it. It's a psychological imperative, says the article, to fight hedonic adaptation if we want full happiness. You have to fight it if you want full happiness. Gratitude keeps us reminded of the good things in our lives. Daily gratitude takes months to be the most effective. Not me, but according to this study. And if you're a Christian, you know you ought to have a head start. That should be a way of life for you. In all relevant studies, change occurred slowly. It took several months of continuous practice for the largest benefits of gratitude to appear. So here, gratitude is a cultivated skill. And number two, gratitude can be a personality trait. Some people are more given to it than others just because of their natural bent toward life. They have a particular propensity toward gratitude. But it still has to be cultivated and worked at. Gratitude, therefore, in my estimation, and according to the scriptures we're going to look at in a minute, is worship. What should be the object of our worship is the question. Let's look at Luke 17, 7 through 19, and I want to read this to you, and I want to tell you that some of this that I'm reading is not going to make any sense to you in the context. But how many believe that God inspired the Word? Okay, some of you do. Chris doesn't believe it. Anyway, oh, thank you, Chris.
I nodded my head.
Oh, okay. I'm just picking on you, Chris. So, God inspired the Word. The Bible says it was the holy men of old, were the Holy Spirit spoke through them, they wrote. I also believe that God inspired the order of the Word. Somebody said, well, there's a group of guys that got together and put together. Let me tell you something. They prayed over it. I think God specifically ordered the order of the word or how it's laid out. So, well, you know, there weren't even chapters and verses. I know, but God also knew that we can't even make it through church without looking through our phone, so he had to put chapters and verses so we could not get lost, okay? All right, God knows a lot of stuff that we think he doesn't. But if you read the word of God, listen to this. This is one of the most important keys that you will ever have concerning understanding God's word. There's a lot of ways to study God's word, but here is one of the most important ways to study God's word. Always read contextually. Read a chapter, read the chapter before, read the chapter after. And it may lead you to read another one before, another one before, another after, another after. So when the Holy Spirit ordained the scriptures, he didn't make mistakes. So when you see something that you don't understand, that's when you say to the Holy Spirit, please help me understand this. I read stuff and go, there's something here, and I'm not seeing it. I feel it in my spirit. There's something here, and this is what I did when I was reading this. I was at the deer camp this week with Lexi and I were doing some fun. And I'm studying, and I'm saying, there's something here, God. I'm not seeing. Would you please? And he showed me, and I'm going to share it with you. So, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him, by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready. Let me just stop here a minute. If you've got a servant there, let's call it employee. You have an employee. They're working for you. A servant, as the scriptures call it. They're working for you. And they get through, and they come in the house. You don't say, sit down and eat, man. What you say is, and will not rather say unto him, make ready where I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I've eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Okay? Feed me, and when I'm done, you can have your meal. I know you worked in the field all day. Now, the master may have been in town taking care of business, not real strenuous work. He might have just been doing office work. He may have just laid around the house all day. But the servant gets through eating. He comes in. He understands he's getting paid. This is his duty. He comes in. He feeds the master. When the master's fed and all of his duties are taken care of for the day, then he can eat and he can rest. All right? So, serve me till I've eaten and drunken, and afterwards you shall eat and drink. Verse 9, doth he thank that servant because that he did the things that were commanded him? No, I don't think so. The Lord said, no. These are the things that he's supposed to do. There's no special thanks for him. He just did what he should do. Verse 20, so likewise, when you shall have done all those things which commanded you, say we are, this is what you say. You've done all these things, then you say, we're just unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Okay, remember this and keep this in mind as we're going on. Okay? Now, I'm gonna just give you a little preview of where I'm going. Well, I came to church today, God. Ain't that good? It's what you're supposed to do. You don't get any kudos for that. Go on. Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He entered in certain village, and there met with him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why were they standing afar off? Let me go back to that. I want to reread that. Verse 11. Go back to 11. It came to pass, he went to Jerusalem. There he passed through the midst of Mary and Galilee. I'm sorry, verse 12. And there, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that had COVID, which stood afar off. They were lepers. They stood afar off. Now, Jesus had no problem because he touched lepers. Didn't bother him. He ain't scared. He was divine healing walking around. Ain't no disease going to mess with him. They lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. 10 of them together in a leper colony, flesh falling off. I've never seen it, but I've heard it's a horrific thing to see a leper colony. I mean, pieces of their face falling off, their ears, hands, fingers falling off their body and what have you, your flesh. It's a flesh-eating disease. And they say to Jesus, have mercy on us. Now look what Jesus says. When he saw them, he said to them, and we know that Jesus was moved with compassion. We have a compassionate God. We have a caring God. And more than once, we see where Jesus was moved with compassion. They cried for mercy. Jesus, when he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that they went, as they went, they were cleansed. All right? In faith, they did what they cried for mercy. Jesus gave them mercy, and he said, go ahead, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, through their faith, they were cleansed. Now, the priest was kind of like a safeguard in that day. It was like the doctor or whatever today. And they had doctors, but I'm just saying, in that community, the way God set it up, the priests were the ones that guided them in civil situations. So if they went to the priest declared them clean, they could go back into their home and their family and what have you. You realize in that day, you think mold in the homes is a modern day problem? Do you realize that the Bible teaches that in that day, if you get mold in your home and you try to cleanse it, and if it doesn't come out, the priest comes in and checks it out. If the priest tells you, get out of it, don't live here, then don't live there anymore. But if you purified it and the priest comes in and says it's okay, then you can live there. So the priest was like a safeguard to the rest of society. Go and show them. And they went. As they went, they were cleansed, okay? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? No, that's good. I'll tell you where the 9 were. They were doing their duty. Jesus said, go show the priest. Did he not say, go show the priest? Yes, he did. Always, when you say that like that, did he not? People always like, what's he saying? Go show the priest. But one man, I won't tell you what he said. No, let's do the next one. I'm sorry. Okay. There are not found, 18. There you go, 18. Go to 18. Yes, sir. There are not found that return to give the glory to God save this stranger. Verse 19. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This word whole is what we're going to concentrate on here in just a second. I'm doing what God told me to do. I'm going to church. I'm paying my tithes. I'm reading my scriptures in the morning. Why do I not feel more complete? Why is it that I feel like that there's something missing? I'm doing, you see, the Lord told them, you got all the sacrifices down. I am sick of you doing sacrifices. I want your heart. I'm not interested in your ritual. I'm not interested in the name on your church. I'm not interested in how many scriptures you've memorized. It means nothing to me if your heart is not in it. One man said, wait a minute, guys. Oh, no, we're going to see the priest. Now here, what was the conversation amongst the other 9? Reckon why he showed us mercy. Oh, probably because, you know, that old Torah we found, we've been reading it every day. It's over in the corner. Remember at the leper colony? We read the Torah. And it may be that we would clean up some money, you know, and put it in a bag and have that little boy come get it and bring it to our wives so they could buy the sacrificial lamb and take care of that. And so God is happy with what we're doing. So that's why he's showing mercy on us. And we get these configurations in our mind about why God is blessing us. And we don't understand, as one writer put it, this is so powerful, there is a difference in saving faith or saving worship and saved worship. You will never do saving worship. There's nothing you can do to bring salvation to yourself. Nothing. Because we, at our best, are going to have flies in the ointment. Oh, yeah? You want to challenge me on that? How many of you kept a completely straight, clear mind on nothing but God and his goodness during this whole service? We'll pray for the liars after church. God, please don't strike them. How many of you this week, just take a week, let's take the last 3 days. In your mind, have judged nobody in just the last 3 days. I could go on. I could say, now, how many of you read your Bible? Oh, we'd get the hands. How many prayed? Oh, yes, we've got the hands. How many paid your tithe? Oh, yeah, we got the hands. How many give alms to some person? Oh, yes, we did. But I want to tell you something. Those have nothing to do with your salvation. That is saved worship. That's not saving worship. Jesus and what he did on the cross is what brought salvation to us. And that is the reason that we have gratitude toward him. If you're let me give you an example of this. The tax collector that everybody hated, okay? The tax collector that everybody hated. Because why? Because he collected taxes. He went before the Lord and he said, Lord, he wouldn't even look into heaven. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm just a sinner. I have to have your mercy. And then he left the temple. But the Pharisee, not before the Pharisee, saw him and said, God, I'm so thankful. Sounded like you started off right, didn't it? I'm very grateful that I'm not like this tax collector. And I fast 2 times a day. And I pray. And I give alms. All of a sudden, it became about him and what he did. It had nothing to do with what God was doing. It was all about what he was doing. You see, we think somehow it's like a bargaining thing with God. If I do enough good things, he's going to keep blessing me. Listen, you're blessed from no merit of your own. This is what the Lord said. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's what you're supposed to be doing. Are disciplines good? Yes, they're good. There's nothing wrong. Should you go see the priest and be cleared? See, so many people have been cleansed, but they've not been made whole. There's a difference. This man went back and began. He realized the object of his gratitude was Jesus. And he fell on his face. Now that word whole actually means saved. Same scripture that in John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believed on him would have everlasting life. And the Bible says he did not come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. He came to make the world whole. He came to preserve the world. Do you know right now, had Jesus not come, humanity would have already killed each other. Would have been gone, extinct. Do you realize that if the Christians were not in this world right now, part of this world, it would be a destroyed place? But when Jesus came and his kingdom came into, see, some people don't even believe that because they can't even see how God's kingdom right now is working in the middle of all this chaos and mess. Your faith needs to come up. It needs to be built up. This is what the disciples said in this same chapter 17. Jesus just talked to them about how they should forgive and all that, and they said, build our faith, build our faith. So he said, okay, here are the stories I want to tell you. Here's a story about the servant that does what he should do. Here I am going and dealing with lepers, and only one comes and worships me. Okay? He tells them these stories, and then he says to them, you want your faith built? Learn who the source of your gratitude is and begin to praise him and lift him up. You want to be made whole? You want to be brought to a place of perfection in Christ? I know this flesh will never see perfection in this flesh until we're changed. But if you want that spirit full and complete, you have to learn that it has nothing to do, believe me, come to church, pay your tithes, do all those things. I believe in all that stuff. But that takes a back seat to me getting in the presence of God and pouring out my praise to him and being thankful for him for his mercy. He owes me nothing, people. Nothing. We live in a, you didn't pick where you were born. We have mentors. We eat food we don't even pick ourselves. We are in a blessed place, and a spirit of ingratitude will make you begin to hate and tear and rip and run people down. But a spirit of gratitude says, why am I so blessed? Well, mercy is a gift of God. Oh, but I speak in tongues. That's a gift of God too. Did you know that? You hadn't earned any salvation with that. You're not earning salvation with anything. The only thing you're earning salvation through is that you get into Jesus Christ and he's already paid the price. And so therefore, if I'm just doing these things, my duty. There's nothing special in that. Those nine that went along there were doing what they should do, but there was nothing extra. But one turned around and said, man, wait a minute, guys. We got to go find this man that hollered. We just hollered to him, have mercy. He said, okay, go show yourself. That's how generous God is. He didn't say, oh, I know them nine boys. They've been doing everything they should do. No, he said, go. Make yourself clean. Or show yourself clean. You're clean when you go. And there, I want to be more than just clean. I want to be saved, don't you? Everybody wants to be saved. But I want to be saved now while I'm being saved for then. I want to be made complete now. I want to be whole now. I want to know what it means to go before the Lord every day in gratitude. And I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to challenge you to this question, because it is so easy to get out of this habit. When is the last time that you went in to do your duty, studying the word, listening, and before you ever did that, you just had a time of gratitude and you got into the presence of God? When's the last time you did that? Or is it just, I'm going to study the word, I've got to do this, and I've got to get on the road, I've got to do this, I've got these duties and responsibilities? Or will you say, wait a minute, the object of my gratitude deserves a whole lot more than me just rushing in there and rushing right out. I don't care if you read a bit of scripture. If you got in there and got in God's presence and worshiped him, you could read that scripture going to work. Daily audio Bible. You could do that at your break. But you go in there before him and just say, today, Lord, I want to pour my spirit out to you in gratitude. Did I finish the story about the guy who said, or the guy that said, I'm not worthy even to be in your presence, Lord? The publican, and yet the Pharisee said, oh, but I am worthy. I fasted. And the Bible says the publican that had his head down saying, I'm not worthy of any mercy, is the one that left justified in the sight of God. What is your object of gratitude? read this for you, scripture, and we're closing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And that pray your whole spirit, your soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, I want your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved in the Lord blameless. Faithful, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Oh, I've got to learn what God, I've all these disciplines I've got to get down so I can be blameless, my spirit, soul, and body. I even saw Abraham, I'm sorry, I'm trying to finish my sentence. Let me go back. I even saw this on Facebook recently, this business of eating right is worship to God. Get out of here. We're all going to hell. It's a sales ploy. People don't fall for it. Don't be twisting scriptures on me. I can tell you that Jesus said it's not what goes in that defiles, it's what comes out that defiles. So don't use, and that reminds me of Abraham Hamilton. He said, you know what, Jesus, he's just another commodity to so many people. He's another way, another motivational device to help me get what I want. So I'm seeking him to bless what I want to do rather than saying, what is it yet you want me to do? Because whatever you want me to do is already going to be blessed. Do your little routine, but don't think it's anything more than a routine. And while you could have had heaven on earth in your spirit, in your life, in your walk with God, you're going to wait to heaven to get it. You're just going to go through your routine and somehow have these same struggles. Is God mad at me? The questions. God said, I am so tired of that question. Y'all should have had that answer long ago. God, what am I doing wrong? You're a human. You're a living life. It rains on the just and the unjust. You don't even see half the stuff I protected you from. You don't recognize my mercy. There's no gratitude. One writer, one article read, he said, why is it kids can learn, they can learn a video game like that, bam, man, they got it. Whatever, you teach them something, kids, they're smart, they get it. But why can't they learn to say thank you? What do you say? Where's mine? That's what you hear from. Where's mine? What do you say to grandpa? Thank you. And they're gone. What do you say to grandma? Thank you. Because it's not our natural state to have gratitude. We assume because we are so blessed, we assume, well, we just deserve it somehow. No, you don't. You deserve to fry is what you deserve. Because even we don't know how wicked our heart can be, the scriptures say. So before you worry about your catechisms and your little routines and all that before God, learn how to be grateful to him because of his mercy and his goodness to you above everything else. I promise you that if you will learn just to walk in gratitude, your life will totally change in God. Totally. You know why? Because it won't be I have to read my scriptures that I want to read my scripture. It won't be I have to go to churches, I want to go to church. It won't be I have to listen to Christian music, I want to listen to Christian music. I'm really kind of tired of a lot of the TV out there anymore, you know? It's just like, I got an idea. We're on vacation. I got an idea, honey. Let's go find a cesspool and wallow around in it for a while. Let's find somebody who's with an open sewer and just jump in it for a while. That's kind of what happens with TV sometimes, you know? Let's just go watch this garbage and expect our spirit to stay intact and a gratitude spirit to be there and all that and not have to struggle. You know, somebody said we wouldn't have to. It's hard to fight your devils when you like playing with them. Okay? get that gratitude and realize the object of, you know, healing is a person. You know, fulfillment's a person. Now, your spouse, you and your spouse are the most like God, especially with your family. You've got, you become one. The Bible says you become one with your spouse. We become one with God. Now, listen to this. But they will never complete you. I don't care what the world says or what Facebook tells you. Only are we completed in Jesus Christ. It's the only way. He's the object of my gratification. Let's stand. I'll close with this. So, my wife was a little bit down this last week. Care if I'm going to use you for an example. Thank you, baby. She was a little down this week when I was gone. Of course, you know, I'm so great when I'm gone. I need a big dose of humility, don't I? Anyway, so we're going, and I talked to her. She's down. She's kind of been down for a while over this, and I was studying all this, and I said, do me a favor for an experiment for my sermon. For the next few days, I want you to keep a journal of gratitude. And so when I come home, she's up. She's different. She says, did it help? Yes, it helped. I started writing them myself. I will confess to you, I write things for sermons and all that, but I'm a terrible journal keeper. I am not good at it. It's a habit. I've got to cultivate more of it. Okay, I've told you that when I preach on write it down. But in just a few days, now she before has kept a gratitude journal. So it was part of an ongoing habit that she had before it had stopped. Well, could it be the thing that you're missing the most in not being made whole, not being well, not being, you're cleansed because the mercy and the love of God and the death of Christ, you're cleansed, but you're not whole. You're not saved. You're not well because that flow of gratitude is not coming out to the one that cleansed you and made you whole. Could be that. Do it this week. I want to tell you something. We get a hold of this. We come into these services. We're going to have to stop worship service. Right now, people, I mean, we're I'm not criticizing. We're worshiping all, but it's too much of this. And then after about three quarters of the way through the worship service, people start kind of warming up to it, okay? And we start getting more involved. I'm looking forward to the time that Callan starts playing that piano and you're up on your feet ready to go. And then after a while, I say, sit down. I need to preach. Because we're so excited about showing our gratitude to the one who deserves it, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're so blessed and we don't even know it. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Let's bow our head for a minute. I am going to, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up if you say, Pastor, I want more of what you're talking about. I want to have that spirit of gratitude. Just thank you for that. Thank you so much, all of you, for that. God bless you. Seeing hands everywhere. Thank you for that. Let's worship with Callan. If you want to pray where you're sitting or come to the front, let's find a place and just talk to the Lord for a few minutes here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you're a
keeps me alive when I worship you. Oh Lord, my soul testifies. All I need in this world is you. All I want there to be is your love surrounding me. Every breath that I take is from you.
What a song. I worship you, Lord. My soul will testify. It's awesome. God is so good. Spend this week worshiping. Give that thanks to him, okay? I'm thankful for the turkey. And you know what? It's time for, I know we're going to get a little bit embroiled in some of this foolishness out there. Let's come out of that, more of that. Let's start giving praise to God for what he's doing and what he's going to do. Let the blind lead the blind. Let's get in the spirit and realize God's got a great, great revival that's headed our way. By my spirit, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. I proclaim his favor over my house. That's why I worship him. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up its countenance upon you and give you peace. And may he cover you with his name, which is Jesus. God bless you. I love you. Pastor Paul. I love you. You're dismissed. Thank you, guys.